Okay, so you know how it is when you know exactly what you're going to say and then you just don't anymore. But, hello, next to Lana. The Lord be working in my life. So I'm just going to quickly have a brief run and then I'm going to stress a few points that I think, well, that hopefully the Holy Spirit... so let's see. So, you know, I was one of those people that would always have said that she's running for the Lord, but I really wasn't. I've always wanted to please the Lord in some sort of way, but I was so selfish, and I had so many, like, you know, how you when you do something, you want to give God glory for it. But it's actually just because you want to be doing it. Like, when you study drama, I would be like, yo, when I'm famous, then I would be like, make some Christian movies, you know? So I would be like, yes, Lord, get me there, and then I'll do something for you, you know? So I was very, like, I was very selfish, and I really tried to fit God into my picture. And I never understood where I fit into his picture. And I think my journey with Josh Jane, oh, how miraculous. So let me speak a bit about, so last week, Sunday, we've been doing this thing called soul care, and the Lord has been, like, you know, scratching little stuff open and, you know, just highlighting a few stuff in your life that you never really knew, and you just really wanted, you know, all of the stuff that's in your life that hasn't bowed before, just to come and bow before, you know? And so I have been, I've been wanting to pray in tongues for a long while. Like, after I've been baptized in grade 11, I was like, yes, I want to pray in tongues. This is something that I love. And, but once again, I see now how the Lord really revealed how selfish it was, because I saw praying in tongues as like a next level. Let's go. Okay, so I saw praying in tongues as like being a next level Christian, and so I was always like, okay, so maybe I'm just not ready to go there, you know, maybe I'm just not there yet. I don't know where I was, but anyway. So I'd be like riding on my puffy, and like to church services and asking the people to lay hands on me, and I just received my tongues. And then, before I actually started my journey with Josh Dean, I went to me and a few friends. Okay, no, it was actually started like this. So I was like, you know, in the world, you know, and I partied. I was a partier. And and you know, in the world, and I didn't see it as a problem even. It was, it was so bad. But so I was. It was when I was in quarantine, I was like thinking, in quarantine I'm going to spend such good time with the Lord, and it just never happened. And then at the end of quarantine I watched a video, and the video was like something about pornography, that I was like, this is not applicable, but I'm just going to watch it anyway. And so basically what the preach was about, what the lesson was, you know, you have to confess something. Oh, you have to apologize to the Lord, and then you have to confess it to bring it into the light. And so now I was like, wait, I know I have to confess something. But I was like, for the first time, I actually gave something into God's hands. And I think that's one of the biggest testimonies that this is where the Holy Spirit is stressing something. If you give something into God's hands, He really gets a chance to work with it. Because we think for a lot of times, you know, I have to fix this, you know, I have to fix this. But you can't fix anything. You can't fix anything. So that's the first time that I really put something into the Lord's hands. And have to confess this. Let me confess it, but I'm not gonna, you do it, because I don't know when, and I don't know who, and I don't know where. And then for the next week, I'd be like walking, and then maybe I don't know, I'm in a one-on-one, and I'm like, and then like, it was probably like 3 weeks after, and me and two girls were chatting, and it was like, you know, speaking like about the Lord and stuff, and they were like, oh, Delona, you can pray in tongues. I'm like, no. And they're like, okay, but let's lay their hands. I'm like, yes. And then so they lay their hands on me, and it's like 10 minutes. They've been praying for like 10 minutes, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is it. This must be. And so then I confess to them. What is this? The one girl says she burst out in tears. She says she was alone. The Lord delivered me from this earlier this year. The other girl says, you're alone. The Lord already told me this a week ago. I've just been waiting for you to come to me. Yo. Just thank you for me, because I gave it to him to figure it out. Okay, so then. I thought, okay, so that's why I haven't been praying in tongues, because he had to bring me to this place to figure this thing out. And I was like, okay, Lord, super expectant, I'm going to start praying in tongues soon. And so every time I'm like, quiet tongues, I'd be like, it's done. Now it's May, and saying, you know, in last week's Sunday, he's saying, okay, we're going to be praying for infilling of the Holy Spirit, and I'm like, well, not I, but the Holy Spirit's like, tonight, and I'm like, but now I'm actually a bit like, okay, really now, because there's been so many opportunities, and it hasn't happened, and so, we're here and praying, and now somebody's praying and nothing's happening. I'm like, really, but nothing's happening. So, and actually, I was actually like a bit in doubt. And the whole sermon was actually about, you know, taking that step onto the water, and you're just really stepping out of the boat, and that's something that I never have done. Yeah, and then the Lord just really said, okay, Delona, step out. Yeah, and then I just started praying in tongues. But now here is the thing. So here is the actual thing. I was actually like, it was wonderful, and it was amazing, obviously, it's this great gift. But something, like, wasn't... Like, what? I thought I would be like jumping up and down, running twice around the church because it's so wonderful, yeah? And it was just like, okay, so now I have it, and it's great. But I was like, what is this now? What's wrong? Why not super happy? And so afterwards, obviously, you're still like, you know, going back home, and you're like, you know, like a little girl with a new gift, that was still the truth. But then I was like, the Lord really put it on my heart to just go, look a little at this gift. Yeah?
So? So we all know this very well. Yeah, but we sometimes overlook it.
So, 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Yeah, and the Lord just really revealed to me how this is a great gift. I mean, every good gift is from our Father. And we must use it, and we must, as Paul says, we must desire it. But if the posture of your heart is not right, then it doesn't mean anything. There is no such thing as a least level Christian. There is no such thing as a more spiritual or less spiritual person. And the Lord really had to prepare my
my heart to be like, even though there's this good gift, it's actually just this good Father, you know? And so that if the, because this is the thing, you really focusing on this, love never ends, but prophecies, they will end, and tongues, they will cease. So you really like put it in the heart, like, enjoy this while you can, and I'm giving it to you, but focus on me, the eternal one. Go.
Hey guys. So I hope it's not as long as the lines, but that was incredible. It is a good testimony, I think. And I just trust that the Holy Spirit will use what happened to me to maybe settle on a few people's hearts here tonight. I don't know if it's relevant for everyone. But like Talana said, a few of us have been doing this thing called soul care. Firstly, you can all do soul care just like through prayer with the Holy Spirit and then reveal things. But this has been an intense time of really like, Lord, show me something. And it was last week, Monday, when I play hockey, and I was going to go and play a hockey game in Cape Town. And just as I was about to go into the field, I turned to an old coach of mine from school and started talking about our future, started mentioning a few things. And he brought up one of my friends from school and said how this guy was running for a prestigious scholarship. And this scholarship is through my school. And it's something that every guy from my school talks about. And if you win this thing, you're like a god. And as soon as he said that, something in me was like, yo, why wasn't me? Why don't I run for this scholarship? And I remember playing the whole game and being like, I didn't even focus on the game. I was just thinking about like this guy, my good friend, that had run for the scholarship. And if it wasn't for soul care, and it wasn't for this time of really soaking in and really getting the spirit feel, I don't think I would have gone home that night. I would have felt unsettled. I would have felt like there's this jealousy in my heart, but I don't think I would have confronted it, and I don't think I would have realized that there's a root here. And often our emotions are a sign of a root, I believe. And so I started really diving into this, and I realized that my whole school career, I compared myself to this guy. I'd come from my junior school, he had come from his junior school. He was the head boy of his junior school, I was the head boy of my junior school. He played West Coast hockey, I played hockey. He was the captain of the hockey side, I was the vice captain of the hockey side. He was the deputy head boy, I was the prefect. So I'd always compared myself to all of these things. And coming out of school, like, you know, the Lord has just stripped away this desire to perform, stripped away this desire to be someone. He really has taken away, like, yes, there are areas, but he really has taken it away. And like, I live for one person alone, but this little root just popped up again. And it just suddenly, you know, it results in me having jealousy. And I then ended up messaging him and just wanting to support him through this process of applying for the scholarship. And he is currently has COVID, but when he comes out of it, God really, I'm praying for him. I want to meet up with him, and I want to go for a coffee and really just break that barrier. Because as much as I look up to him, I was always comparing myself to him. And I really believe that there are people, and look back to your childhood, go back, like let the Lord take you back, because there are always those roots, and the Spirit wants to reveal it. Evidence of the Spirit is that He shows you these things. The world struggles to see these things because they're blind and they can't ever open up the heart. So I just wanted to encourage you guys for that.
So it was really special. That I was on me, I prayed for for a spiritual practice as well. I just felt when they said, when they started to pray, they said, we're going to pray for you for spiritual baptism. And I just felt tears running down my eyes. I was like, oh. And one of my friends also praying for me, he told me, like, his left leg was shivering. And, it's amazing. I'm so happy to share. So all of this for me started in lockdown, actually. One of my good friends, he was there. He invited me, he's in United 118, invited me to join his U group. And he posted on the story every time, like, join my U group. And I was like, And he posted on this, like, please, man, come join my U group. Why must I ask so much? Okay, fine, I'm going to join your U group. And we, it was more like a support group, but that made me like realize, like, what am I? Because first year I was like, I was supporting a lot. Sundays coming to church, sitting in church, like, okay, what happened Friday and Saturday is just nothing, it's just okay. I'm in church, it's all it counts. But if someone needs to ask me, like, what are you, what's your religion? Like, I couldn't say Christian because I was not a Christian. And that made me realize, like, yo, there's something greater than me. There's, why am I like lukewarm all the time? Lukewarm the whole time. And so once COVID was getting like, or lockdown was ended up, the physical locations of the Unite was going back to Porch. They're based in Porch, and most of the people in my group were in Porch. And so me and my now, we didn't know what to do because I think one of our friends invited us to join Josh Chen as visitors. And so in that time, he was asking me, are you Unite? Are you in Josh Chen? What's happening? And everybody's asking us the same question, like, in what church are you? And me and my now just prayed, like, that God shows us, like, what do we need to do? Like, we don't want to listen to his command. We don't want to follow our own heads in this decision. It's a big decision. And so we got confirmation, like, it was once one of the students in the praise and worship, like, I was standing next to my mom, and we just felt, she looked over to me, like, we're in Justin. So, it was amazing. And ever since I joined the online column, I joined the King's Visitors column for two Tuesdays now, really. And one revelation I got from worship, actually, it's like a verse, Romans 10 verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And I actually searched that quote because I forgot a quote from someone saying confession precedes belief. And I believe that because I was in church before, and every time there was this encounter with weekend with opportunity for worship, I was always that like this. And never like, Lord. I was so shy, so self-aware. And the first time we met Josh, I just felt like, God, please take my hands. Like, it's all for me, just take my hands. And we wanted to raise my hands. I could feel like, tears running down my eyes. It was so insane. I've never looked back ever since. So that was nice.
The Lord has always kind of singled me out in front of people in the church, and like has always confirmed that there's been big callings on my life, and I was always like, okay, cool. And then I just get so anxious about it that I actually just turn away from it. With having that, the world has has such a strong hold on me and just keeps pulling me back and pulling me back. And for a very long time, I was very like lukewarm, and I was looking for my identity in the world and just obviously going out and partying and just like finding my fake happiness there and with those friends, and finding my identity in my friends, like who love and appreciate me but wasn't actually like fulfilling me at all. And then during lockdown, I had a bit of a breakthrough, like, your Lord, please, just like, I'm so done. Just fill my heart and I want to feel you. And for a while, I was just feeling numb, I'm feeling empty, like, why aren't you coming? Just come on, I want to feel you. And then I heard about Josh, Jen, Stenbosch, and there were students here, and I was like, oh my word, that's so cool. It's not just old people that come. Lord, it's actually young people. And then I came, I think like 3 weeks ago, and Andrew was speaking, and I cried the whole service. Like, so I did struggle a lot with feeling the Lord's love for me, and like, because I've obviously done a few things that I'm not proud of, and just like struggling for forgiveness for myself. And like, I'm like, Lord, how can the Lord forgive me? Like, I'm such, he was like not good. But then I couldn't see his love for me, I couldn't see how he could forgive me, and I was really struggling with that. And I, through that, I was just struggling to love other people and even myself, which was a big one. And then when Andrew spoke about God presenting him on the cross, like the Lord on the cross, and like, Andrew, I died for you. Oh my goodness, that hit me like a truck. I was dying, I couldn't actually compose. I was like, oh my word. And that day, I was like, I'm not living on the fence anymore. I'm just going to go for it. And oh my goodness, I'm so sold out for God. He has lit a fire in my heart that I can't step away from. And the Lord loves me, and I am part of His kingdom, and I can't wait for what He has for my life. And obviously, I'm not going to follow my notes. Also, just being in the church with students, like, it's so encouraging. It really encouraged me. Like, when I came in, we were a bit late, so we came in worship, and you guys blew me away. So thank you for that. And through Soul Care, I had been struggling a lot with my family. We're a very close family. But there were obviously a lot of hidden things that I didn't realize that could actually affect and break our family completely. And it was with my brother Nathan. He's like the soft, caring brother. And I'm the oldest of four. And my brother and my sister and I, we're very strong, like, compared to them. We click well. And I didn't realize that we were basically subconsciously bullying my brother by leaving him out of things because he couldn't do stuff, so we were like, oh, I'm not going to play with him. I'm not going to include him in anything. And like through the Soul Care, I started realizing, oh my word, are we actually damaging his spirit, the way he sees like himself, his family, God, even his relationship with God. And the Lord placed it on my heart, and I was like, okay, I'm going to be obedient. And I presented it to my parents. I'm like, this is what's happening. And then I called the family meeting, and then there was a breakthrough in my family. Like, my brother confessed to my younger brother that he's so sorry. And he told my little brother that he loved him for the first time in our lives, and same as my little sister. And then also with my mom, I always felt like that orphan spirit, like trying to please her, trying to like clean up the house so that she doesn't get mad, and like just trying to get like kind of performance. And I kind of just was open with her and like just confess a few things, and also so I just told her how I feel, and our relationship's so good now. I can speak to her about things again. It's also just, yeah, being obedient. When the Lord puts something in your heart, just don't even think about it, just go for it. I also got to pray in tongues for the first time. So that's pretty cool. And
two and a half weeks, there were so many significant things that just popped
was incredible. And so then Andrew was telling his story, and God challenged me throughout his story. Like, it's incredible to see what God has done. And really challenged me. And then we were singing this, it's quite a popular song, I don't know the words, anyone can remember, but it has the words, Lord, I proclaim, or I proclaim. Something about to do, but it's got the word proclaim. And the Lord, I thought the Lord said to me, grow up. I have no idea why I was going up, but he said, grow up. And I think maybe a song later after that, Andrew's actually like, guys, if you want to come to the phone, come to the phone. So I was like, there's an opportunity. I jumped up, but I came down and basically just said to the guys praying to me, and I said, you know, I've been a Christian my whole life. I've grown up in a strong Christian household, and I'm only making my stand now. On the fence, lukewarm, you know, like this lukewarm business. And the Lord said, make your stand and choose your direction. Fortunately, I chose this way. So, I chose that, and there was words that were spoken over me, and one of the most significant things to me was being a disciple and form godly relationships. And that is something that God convicted me of before that, and it was something that I've really been working on a lot. And those are the first you all know. And that was incredible. So yeah, that was, I just broke down into tears. And then we finished praying, and cool. Not expecting much at all. I actually walked over to the side of the stage, and it was in worship again. So carried on worshiping and praying. And then all of a sudden my leg just started shaking. And that's when the Lord touched me. He said, you know, I just started weeping, and I was like, well, I'm going to stop this. I don't know why. Because last year, the Lord actually healed my knee. I had an ACL injury, and he healed it, and it was incredible. But basically, what happens is my whole body just shakes. And that's basically what was happening. It stops my knee, and slowly builds up. So I was like, well, I'm going to test it. I don't know why, because I knew this is the Lord. And I tried to stop, and I couldn't stop, so I just broke down even further. And then I was like, well, maybe I'm just tired, maybe I actually need to sit down. So I sat down and carried on shaking, and I just broke down again. But yeah, it's just incredible to see how God has worked in my life, and He's never left me. And then last week, He touched me again, and we were praying, and Christian was actually praying over me. And I was praying, and all of a sudden I just started speaking in tongues. So it was quite incredible. It just, all of a sudden, it just came out. And yeah, they were praying over me, and they could see me shaking vigorously. And they're still, God's working in my life, and I'm basically just riding a wave currently. So that's my testimony. It's pretty cool, I think.
So I'm Nadia, and about 3 years ago I started with my articles in accounting, and I signed a contract to work in Pretoria. A month before I needed to start working, they called me and asked me to move to Stellenbosch, and my first reaction was, no thank you, I don't want to go. And I prayed about it a lot, and the Lord just opened so many doors for me, and I decided, well, 3 years, let's go. And yeah, I moved to Cape Town, and I really wasn't happy. I wasn't in a church, I couldn't find a church that I was happy with, and it was really difficult for me being away from my family. And this year, just before lockdown, I started joining Josh Jane. Rudolf asked me about a year ago already to start joining, and I just didn't had the courage to come. So just before lockdown I came, and I really felt like this is a church where I can fit in. And after lockdown I also continued to come to church and I joined community, and wow, I grew spiritually so much more than I did ever in my life before. And I can just those people were so invested in my life and they really cared about me, and it was very special for me. I felt like I had received a family for the first time in Stellenbosch, and not being alone all the time. So my articles are coming to an end this year, and I was really determined to go back home. I made up my mind, I'm going back to Pretoria to my family. And when I started searching for work at the beginning of September, and it was quite rough because now I need to start looking for work and I'm not there, so I need to do everything electronically. So I started looking for work, and everyone in the community also prayed for me and knew that this was a really challenging time for me. So I started looking for work, I had nothing, and I didn't feel at peace why I need to go back. So I just prayed about it a lot, and was really wrestling. Do I need to stay? Do I need to go? Where do the Lord want me to be? So I didn't know. It was really difficult. And one night at community, it was just after my birthday, and everyone prayed for me. And that night was really amazing for me. And I didn't know everyone cared so much. It was really nice. I really felt, these people are so invested in my life and they really cared about me. And I want to thank all of you so much. So that night I called my mom and I'm like, Mom, I think I need to stay a bit. I don't think I need to go back. And they are very supportive and they just told me, whatever you decide, we will be there for you. And we encourage you and you can live your life. So, I probably applied for like 50 jobs in Pretoria, and I haven't heard from one of them.
Hello everyone, my name is Yanku. I just want to see those not my community. I didn't actually understand. So I just want to share some of the healing work that the Lord has done in my heart the past few weeks. We were doing solid case, like a inner healing thing that like, the whole church is doing together. And one of the things you have to do is you ask the Father to show you like one of those things in the past that when I was a child like that hurt me or some of the baggage that you're still carrying, like one of those things in the past that like we took shots and we're still carrying things and feels like I've prayed, I know exactly where those points are where I got when I was young enough. I've prayed through them all and like I can't seem to find like any new things and to get me breakthrough in the areas I'm struggling in. The Father showed me, he took me back when I was a child. I was actually really looking for nurturing and comfort, and he showed me that like that's the two things that I wasn't getting enough of as a child. And I think this is actually a cool thing to encourage everyone on. Like my parents are really amazing, and that they love the Lord, but I just needed actually some more love. And it's not that they didn't give enough; it's just like I have the capacity for more. And especially from Afrikaans household, like my dad especially is not very expressive, and I actually had a lack. And the word that the Father just showed me is called emotional neglect. And it's not like anything on their part. The fact is just there was that void in my heart, and I wanted nurturing and comfort that I didn't get. And the Father just came and revealed to me like this is what's going on, and I could actually forgive my parents. And I did ask the Father, so can you please come and nurture and comfort? And for me, like as a guy, I was also in a boys' school, and so nurturing and comfort is not exactly like what you stand for per se. I grew up like trying to be old and trying to be like this Afrikaans, like this man. And the Father just showed me like that actually he's made younger as a boy that needs nurturing and comfort. And he's still carrying that wounds and that made him struggle with a lot of things like with lust or like he'd run to friends or do a lot of things. And it's from that place we're actually looking for nurturing and comfort and love and security. And I could forgive my parents and release them of that place, and he could come in and this is the thing that day or two as I released and he came and healed, like I felt like a boy again and I felt safe again. And then part of this something we do at Soulcare is each person gets the meaning of their name. And my name, the spiritual connotation of it is nurtured. And I didn't know that. So it's like it's part of my identity now. So it's so like I'm soft as well now. Like I am nurtured, like it's who I am now. It's really special for me actually. The second thing is another thing that they said is oftentimes the way that our parents were, we put it onto God. And one of the statements that we have to read and say whether we agree with it or not is that God embraces us and that we can still understand him as affectionate and he sings over us and he dances over us. And that just doesn't sit with me well. I believe it in my head, I'm sure it's true for some people, but I know he loves me, but I'm not sure if like, he embraces me or like, he dances over me. And it's and he showed me that that's just how my parents were. And it's actually not his heart, it's actually just my parents, and I'm putting it on him. And when he showed me that, he took me to scripture in Ephesians, and it's Ephesians 3, it speaks about God's love, and it says like that we may know the height, the depth, the breadth, the length of his love, that we may know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And the Father, he dropped this in my heart, he said, you cannot out-imagine my love. It says it's a love that surpasses knowledge. So he said, how about you try to out-imagine my love? Like, imagine like a dad or a mom playing with a child, or like, my parents didn't particularly do that, like they weren't the most expressive, but imagine like a daddy like rejoicing with his daughter and swinging her around and playing with her. Imagine what the most affectionate dad would do. Like God is the author of that, he's so much more than that. And he just dropped him out. He cannot help you imagine the way that I love you. And so for the first time in my life, like I can confidently say now that I do think the Father, what Jesus does dance over me, like he does embrace me, like I can sit on his lap and it doesn't feel like awkward sitting on his lap. Like, I think, like, I've really known the Lord for a long time, and it feels like, and I think it happens often, it feels like it's just been in it. Like, it feels like it's, for the first time, just dropped to my heart, that the Lord actually loves me. And I've known it in my head for long, but, like, I feel like I can say that, like, hey, Jesus does love me, my heart can agree with it. Like, I know I'm actually loved.
My name is Kopana. So I've been in Judge Chain for about 3 months now, and I was baptized about 3 weeks ago. So I would just like to share my baptism testimony and how it actually came about. So I grew up in a very traditional, strict, religious household. My father is an Anglican priest, so yes, I'm a pastor's kid. So I was baptized as an infant already. So I've already seen like young adults getting baptized and older adults getting baptized. But I found it so weird, like, why did you guys wait so long to get baptized? Because I know it as a baby thing, right? So I was like, okay. So I came to Judge Jane after lockdown, and we were doing a foundations course, and the first lesson was about salvation and baptism. So that's when I actually learned the meaning of baptism. It's not just a thing that someone do as a ritual. It symbolizes our death, our old life, and our resurrection into a new life with Christ. So I learned all this, and I had a lot of questions, and I asked this, and I asked David, and it all makes sense, and I was so excited. I need to do this like as soon as possible. And so there was a little stumbling block called my parents. So I told them, yo guys, this is what's happening, I need to get baptized, and they were like, no. You've already been baptized in the church, you've already been confirmed, so why? Why there's no such thing as a second baptism. So that conversation was really, really tough. It was a bit of an awkward silence. I was like, okay. My mother was more concerned that this was not like an initiation into a cult or something. But I assured her mom, because I'd only been in Joshi for a little while. So like, there are some churches that are shady and dodgy. So I told them I would come to Judge Jane, just learn what they stand about, what it's like here. In one of my conversations with Leonard, he said that it's not about Judge Jane or any other church in particular, right? So you can get baptized in any church. It is the act of obedience when you decide to get baptized. So this really clicked for me, but the thing with my parents not approving, it really didn't sit well with me, like it really hurt my heart. Because like, growing up, they just always cheering me on, and this one thing they were not, like for the first time ever. So it really did cause tension. So I just prayed about it, God, like, this is what's happening, obviously, you know. so I just prayed about it, God, please just change their hearts, and so we got a few people also to pray about it. So it was actually the one Sunday where I thought, you know what, the Bible does say that we are to honor our parents and to respect them, but we are to strive to please God more than we are to please man. And the one scripture that actually affirmed my decision to get baptized was Matthew 10, where Jesus is talking about his coming, that he's coming not to bring peace but a sword. So the particular verse that was pointed out to me by the Holy Spirit was, those who love their father or mother more than me are not fit to be my disciples. And those who love their sons and daughters are not fit to be my disciples. So this really challenged me. Like, it just hit hard. Like, it knows, the Holy Spirit knows me to hit. So I was like, okay, I love my parents. Jesus, I love you too. So I just felt like, okay, prove it. So I was like, okay, no matter what my parents say, I'm going to do this. So I called them again. I told their mom, dad, I'm getting baptized next week, Wednesday at 6 o'clock. It's scares. And to my surprise, my dad said, okay, my child, I give you my blessing. If you feel that this is what you need to do, then it's okay. And I was like, what? That their hearts, in their hearts. And I found even my mom was actually talking to him and telling him this is what she needs to do, just let her do it. So that was just really God working for me. So I just want to encourage anyone who has not been baptized yet and still thinking about it, like, leave whatever anybody else says and just obey what God has said. It is in the word black and white. It is there. It's multiple scriptures. You get saved, and this washing away of sin. After I was baptized, I really felt God say, you are forgiven. Like, I felt it. It wasn't just like, okay, I know I've done some things, I've repented, but I actually felt the washing away of sin. So, once again, I just encourage everybody to baptize. There's Eaton and Winner GH. I think those are the people to go to. And also what I've learned is that seek God and let Him work, and He will. Like, if you pray believing in Jesus' name, it will happen. So that is...